All right, let's go on to the next speaker.
Well, I guess, Paul, you've already stood up, but Paul Legutko of Symphonix. And we'll do it the same way. We'll finish everybody off. We'll do quick questions, and then we'll go back to this discussion.
Yeah, well, how do I?
Wait, what? Oh, I see.
Crazy visual people.
Yep.
Nice.
And how do I advance this?
It should be the.
Yeah, figure it out. Thank you to Professor Potter and the AIAPA for inviting me to this panel. I'll just start out really quickly with the kind of Jean Valjean slide. I followed a pretty traditional career path in academia for about 10 years. So BA in classics, MA in Latin, MA in Greek, PhD in classical archaeology from University of Michigan. I taught at Stanford University as a postdoctoral fellow. I taught at University of Maryland. And then I made this switch in 2004. Ironically, actually, I also was offered a job by the NSA. I went through the polygraph exam and the battery exam before they realized that my master's was in ancient Greek, not modern Greek. But anyway, what I'd like to talk about is why I left academia, a little bit about what I do right now, how I managed to translate those skills from academia into the consulting practice that that I'm in, and also some job tips for people who are interested in making a similar choice. It's no surprise why I left academia. I couldn't find a tenure-track job, this is not a surprise. Everyone knows that the job market is fairly miserable. These are the APA statistics going back a couple of years. More to give you a sense of my own thinking about this, I figured, this year there are 532 applicants for 71 tenure-track jobs. So you figure that there's a 13% straight probability of you getting a job if you apply to all 71 of those. Well, actually, that's not really the case because, these are independent odds ratios. Whether you get a job here has nothing to do with whether you get a job over there. And every job is specific. They're looking for a specific skill set. They're looking for a specific area of expertise. It's overall unpredictable as to whether you're going to be guaranteed a job any more than it is. If you have, three kids and they're all boys, the probability of you having a girl on your fourth one is still going to be 50-50, right? Lifestyle is the other big thing for me. Graduate school and academic teaching is hard. There's a lot of time involved in class prep, teaching, grading, research. And especially in dual career households, if you have a partner, spouse, significant other, chances are they're either an academic like yourself in the same boat or they have a greater earning potential than you do. the fact that jobs are so geographically dispersed, also makes it fairly unpredictable. In my case, my wife, who's a doctor, we lived apart. She was at Maryland. I was in Michigan during graduate school. Then I chased her to Maryland. Then she chased me to Michigan. Then we lived apart again. I was in California and she was in Maryland. Then I chased her to London. Then she chased me to California. And I think it was, I was interviewing for my last tenure track job in Christchurch, New Zealand, looking at the upside down moon when I had the epiphany that maybe it was time to switch careers. So I joined a company at the time called Second Sight Software. I applied for 75 jobs on Craigslist over the period of about 3 months, landed this one. This is just an official description of the company. What we do, and we changed our name over my objections to the nonsensical name Symphonix back in 2006. We study online behavior for clients. So every year or so, the ACLU gets paranoid that everything you do online is being studied and measured and analyzed by someone. Well, they're right. You know, that's us. This is just a sense of our client list. Really, just to give you a sense of how diverse, you know, a consulting job can be. This is, you know, all sorts of industry verticals. If anyone has been to any of these websites in the last 5 years, you have become a 12 to 32 digit alphanumeric code in a database that chances are, you know, myself or one of my colleagues has accessed. Consulting work as a whole is actually very very similar to academia. Consulting occurs in many fields, many industries. It goes from very high-level strategic management consulting all the way down to very highly specialized technical consulting for clients. And essentially, clients are paying you for your expertise, your experience, your time, your smarts. They don't have the resources to do this, so they hire a consulting firm to do it for them. When you think about it, that's what a university pays you for, right? Your experience, your expertise, your time, and your smarts. The advantages in terms of a consulting career, first of all, it's a flexible schedule. As long as the projects get done, you attend your meetings, you put in your 8 hours a day, whether those 8 hours are from 9 to 5, 8 to 4, anything in between, we really don't care. The consulting jobs are geographically ubiquitous. Every major city in the United States has consulting jobs that are out there. We have offices in California and San Francisco, Boston, Washington, Philadelphia, New York, Portland, Oregon, and Berlin. And that's not because we plan to put offices there. It's because that's where our people wanted to live. In terms of that aspect of lifestyle, it's very encouraging. Telecommuting. In a digital world, telecommuting is always a possibility, and that's for small or boutique-style consultancies like ours, but also even the big consultancies like Anderson or Ernst & Young. I require my people to be in the office about 2 or 3 days a week, depending on what's going on, but as long as they're always available online at some, during the working hours on Yahoo Chat, then they can work from home. Finally, compensation. It's a reasonable compensation. Starting salary for someone with coming from a graduate student background can probably be something like, 70 to 80K. Within a year or two, you're up, into like the 80, 90, 100. In, 3 or 4 years, you're up into the low 100s. And it just, goes up from there. So it's reasonable.
Is that American dollars?
Here's what I used to do all the time in academia, and this is teaching, doing research, doing presentations, either lecturing or at a conference like this, doing admin stuff, keeping a class website and filling out paperwork, and grading. Today, I do almost the same thing. Teaching becomes training. So you train either your own internal employees or you train clients into how to use a particular software tool or a particular methodology. Research directly becomes analysis. For an archaeology background, this is quantitative analysis. Probably for a philology background, this is qualitative analysis, probably. But it's all this exact same skill set. Presentations, exact same thing. The ability to be able to stand in front of a group of 5 to 50 people and present the results of a research project in a compelling, clear, and insightful manner is exactly what consultants do, and that's exactly the skill set that consulting companies are looking for. Administration becomes like business operations. That doesn't really go away. Grading is an interesting one. I wanted to emphasize this because, what we call this in our company is qualitative scoring. But every time you grade a paper, you are essentially giving that paper a 1 to 10 score. F, D, C, C plus, and then the B's and the A's, right? That is exactly what a lot of management consulting consists of, is being able to subjectively, based on your experience and your knowledge of similar situations, to give some kind of a score to a company's management infrastructure. This is just an example of that. This is taken from a project we completed for a big mortgage company about a month ago. And, we go in, we sort of, read through, talk to the client, and then score them according to different criteria. And these scores are essentially, they're like grading. This is essentially a 1 to 20 score. You'll notice all of these scores are, either 0 or 5. And then you average those up, tabulate them, and present that to the client. There's no grade inflation, which is nice, because although you have to justify every one of these numbers to the client is paying you to be completely objective. Some differences that I found in between academia and consulting in general. Exhaustive research, like with a dissertation or an article. If I'm writing an article about Dionysius of Alexandria, it's assumed that, no stone is unturned. I've read every piece of literature there is to learn about it. In consulting, you have to balance that by budget and by deadline constraints. No one is going to pay you for 5 years to, do a research project. Your job really is to produce the best analysis possible, within time and budget constraints. Roles and process, you can't do it all most of the time. Academics are very used to, taking it and running with it and working independently. Projects are often too big, so you have to pay attention to roles, processes within the organization if a project's going to get done. Finally, business development. You are essentially selling, your services. So upselling existing clients to further work or getting them on a retainer is an important part of the job set. Proposal writing. This isn't, for grants in the private sector. This is proposals to clients. And with that, it's a level of effort estimation. No professor, would you go to them and tell them that you want to write about Dionysius of Alexandria is not going to say to you, well, how long is it going to take, right? But in the real world, that's a big part of it, and you often have to come up with a time estimate as part of the proposal. This is another big difference, time management and accountability. You don't need to read this. You just need to get a sense of how, exhaustive and complicated this is. But in a big project, you have to lay out exactly what you're going to do, in what steps, for how long a period of time, start date and end date, and then you're held accountable to it. Imagine having to do this with something like your dissertation or an article, where every single step of the process has to be documented and outlined. That's a big difference. That's something that that it took me a while to get used to. Finally, I just have a couple of slides about job tips. Essentially, the consulting industry is looking for smart people with excellent communication skills. That's the first thing that I look for when I'm interviewing. Interviewing applicants. We're looking for independent, innovative, deadline-oriented, fast learners, and that's why the graduate school skill set is particularly pertinent. The biggest tip that I could give is to try to get experience outside of classics and teaching as part of your academic career. You find yourself, with nothing to do in the summer because the excavation got canceled for lack of budget. You have to, find something to pay the rent. Think about doing something outside of the university. I mentioned the summer internships. Excellent way to get those skills. While you're there, get a job title, maintain the references, maintain a current resume all of the time. The hiring cycle can be extremely fast. About one-third of the jobs that we fill are jobs that we need to fill like yesterday, an immediate need for a job. And if you've got a ready application and you find out about it, you could get hired within a matter of days. Having a resume that's current that you can react with quickly is important. Learn tools, and so here are some of the standard software tools that we tend to look for. Not all of these, but depending on what we're trying to fill. The best way of learning the tool is to actually use the tool. Obviously, you know, Microsoft Office Suite, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, Access. Here are some statistical platforms, programming languages, JavaScript, Python, C Sharp, Visual Basic, database skills, internet languages, HTML, Dreamweaver, content management systems, also analytics tools like Adobe Site Catalyst or Google Analytics. Finally, project management, so things like Microsoft Project, Pardot, Sugar, et cetera. Academia has an advantage, which anyone who's still within the academic umbrella should take advantage of. One is because, you know, free courses are available within the university, and, you know, take those courses, especially take courses if they give you some sort of a certification afterwards. You know, you are certified in Microsoft Access or something like that. These software packages, if you want to just start using the tool, are often available for free or for some fraction of the price that it would cost you if you're in the private sector. SPSS, for example, a full license for a private private business is something like $17,000. You can get it at a university for $700 if you have an academic affiliation. Finally, you know, part of the interview, you know, if you get to that stage, and, you know, it's reasonable assumption that you probably would, demonstrate sincerity about switching career paths. I mean, that's often a sort of a red flag. You know, is this person really interested in switching from classics over to consulting or, you know, management work? If you can demonstrate that sincerity, that gives you a jump ahead. Prepare a short synopsis of your dissertation, not that they're going to understand exactly, you know, one word of what you're talking about, but because that will demonstrate to them that you have communication skills, and it will demonstrate, you know, how, you know, quote-unquote smart you happen to be. Prepare talking points around things like, you know, fast learning, deadline completion, team management, project management, tool usage. Be ready to talk about a particular research project from start to finish, soup to nuts. A question I usually ask applicants is, you know, describe to me a research project. You know, what is it you're going after? You know, what are the steps that you took? What were the conclusions and the recommendations that you made at the as a result of this? If you have that prepared, that'll be particularly useful in an interview. Finally, prepare copies of some sort of a dossier to show a potential employer. This could be a short article, presentation like a PowerPoint, a lecture that you've given, or, you know, something from your dissertation perhaps, but something that's visualization heavy so that you can, you know, show that that you can you can visualize a particularly nuanced point in an easily understandable manner. To summarize, the academic skill sets are directly translatable to non-academic fields. I hope I've, you know, sort of given some examples of that. And you know, some people have also said this, you know, your academic interest doesn't disappear. You don't forget Greek, right? Organizations like the APA or the AIA can help you to keep you in touch. In Boston, I belong to a organization called the Society Historia Numorum. We get together every month. They're like, you know, people like me, ex-academics, and we talk about ancient coinage. You know, we, you know, give lectures to each other. You know, things like that. But you know, it's a lot of fun. You don't have, just because you're switching careers, you know, doesn't mean that that you lost that interest. Anyway, thank you.
Any quick questions before we move on?
I had a quick question about turnover rate in consulting jobs. I mean, one of the nice things about having tenure is that you have a job for life unless you kill someone. What about with consulting work? Is there a lot of turnover in the people you've hired depending on the project you have?
We have a pretty strong retention rate. I mean, most of our junior employees stay with us. I think in 8 years we've actually had about only 3 people quit. In terms of the retention, there's no such thing as tenure, but it's absolutely predictable in the sense that, you know, since I joined Symphonic, they could fire me with 1 month's notice. But, you know, I also know that if I bring in more money than they pay me, they're not going to fire me. You know, so there's that, you know, predictability aspect to it as well. It depends really on the cycles of the job market. You know, there are cases of consulting companies that just fold because they can't get the work. But you still have that skill set, and even consultants that I know who have been, you know, laid off because of downsizing can pretty much find a job within a matter of weeks. You know, that's fairly typical.
I wanted to add one thing about training. If your university library subscribes for a very high sum to lynda.com, lynda.com, you have access to training materials for so many of these software projects and platforms. It's incredible. Useful resource. Take advantage of it if your university does have a subscription. Also, the U.S. Institute of Peace has free courses online in conflict resolution that gives you a certificate.